Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
Going, everybody. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We got a lot to get into here on this show today. Very, very busy weekend. The New Japan G1 Climax Tournament wrapped up. Talked about that a lot yesterday on the show. But hey, if you want to talk about it more, you're welcome to give us a call today. 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Raw tonight, SummerSlam weekend, the NXT TakeOver show. And also in the final segment of the program today, Sam Adonis is going to join the show. Wants to apologize for an incident that happened a couple of weeks ago. Sam Adonis will be on the show here today. Unfortunately, we have to start off with more bad news. It's been a terrible month for professional wrestling. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, best known as a member of the Hart Foundation Hart family, who was a longtime tag team partner of Bret Hart, passed away early this morning in Tampa at the age of 63. According to Ross Hart, his brother-in-law, the death was due to a grand mal seizure related to the Alzheimer's disease that Neidhart had been suffering from for some time. Neidhart was a powerhouse, about 280 pounds, with a huge chest and shoulders, one of the strongest men in the world in the late 70s, as one of the best shot putters in the United States, and an Olympic hopeful. He set the California State High School record in the shot put in 1973, continued in college, placing highly in national meets. After failing to make the Oakland Raiders and Dallas Cowboys after college, he ended up in Calgary, where he started a pro wrestling career. Married Elizabeth Ellie Hart, one of Stu Hart's granddaughters, became a regular on the Stampede circuit as one of its biggest stars. Ventured to a number of other territories over the years. When Vince McMahon purchased Stampede Wrestling in late 1984, which was to close it down and get its valuable television network that covered all of Western Canada, one of Stu Hart's provisos was that his top stars, Bret Hart, Dynamite Davey Boy, and Neidhart, all got jobs. The Hart Foundation and British Bulldogs became the stars of the tag team division. More on Jim the Anvil Neidhart when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. Call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780. It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call here today, 844-411-5411 is the studio line. Direct to me. 844-411-5411. The Sports Byline, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Got a lot to get into here today. The death of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, very sad. When I was a kid, shortly after I got into wrestling, I started to watch a lot of the Hart Foundation in WWF. The mid to late 80s, early 90s, some of my favorite memories in wrestling because I was a kid watching it for the first time. Bret Hart, my favorite wrestler at that point. Later, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels. Bret, obviously, part of the Hart Foundation. Loved watching their matches. Obviously, Jim the Anvil Neidhart did some stuff later on in World Championship Wrestling and other places as well. And even, for the last couple of years, appearances on Total Divas. And I didn't watch a lot of Total Divas, but one thing that I did watch was the storyline where he was trying to teach Lana how to shot put. And, of course, she throws the shot put through the window of a car. It was so great. It was just such a wacky little segment on that show. So, obviously, condolences to the Hart family, Natty, TJ. Natty was scheduled to have a non-title match against Alexa Bliss on Raw tonight. It's not 100% confirmed, but the feeling was that she was probably flying home. Wouldn't be on the show here tonight. I'm sure they'll do a graphic for Jim Neidhart, maybe even a video package. But a very sad story. Any memories of the Anvil, Mike?
Well, growing up in the 80s, you know, it's... Tag teams are not historically looked upon with the reverence that maybe they deserve to be. At least the history doesn't match the influence that they had, and the Hart Foundation is obviously one of the most influential tag teams of that era, alongside the British Bulldogs and Tully and Arn and the Road Warriors, and there's many of them, but it was the perfect combination of a group. Really not even of a duo, of a trio for a while when Jimmy Hart was there with him. Everybody balanced out each other, and everybody's failings were filled in by the other person, which is exactly what a tag team is supposed to be about. And it's not that Jim Neidhart didn't have success, you know, away from Bret Hart or anything like that, but that combination, that team is really the thing that goes down in history. And you know, it's too bad the teams from that era won't get some of the due that they may deserve, because tag team wrestling just isn't a thing and is never really going to be a thing. It's historically been maligned by, you know, in the last 30 years by pretty much everybody that's been in charge. But the influence of guys like that, the influence of that team is really something else. And he just had an infectious personality, the laugh, the constant nervous energy. I mean, sometimes it would be a little bit too over the top sometimes, but he certainly became a character that everybody is going to remember. And, you know, he away from WWF, you know, he's more a part of changing eras. You know, the Neidhart's Raiders thing in Memphis as Jimmy Hart was on the way out. Him leaving and losing the Mid-South tag team titles to Butch Reed, they lost him to Magnum TA and Mr. Wrestling 2, which opened up a new era for them down there, which led to the Midnight Express rock and roll era and the Midnight Express and TA and 2 at first, which is a legendary feud. So A lot of memories associated with Jim Neidhart, and just hopefully that everyone in his family, it's just, again, just a sad situation.
Person here says, I feel so bad for Bret Hart. He's experienced so much pain in his life. Kurt Hennig, Roddy Piper, the entire Hart Foundation now, not to mention having cancer and having a stroke. Yeah, it's rough. Although he did beat cancer, and he recovered remarkably well from his stroke. If you listen to stories that Bret tells about just time period immediately after his stroke, I mean, he played it up at the time like he was fine, but he was definitely not fine.
No.
And he ended up making actually a very, very remarkable recovery, actually. So there's that. This person here says, I remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart being on Chris Jericho's podcast. He was asked about his WCW run. Jim said he loved it. He said he never made so much money for doing absolutely nothing. Rest in peace, Anvil. Well, he ain't the only one. He never made so much money doing absolutely nothing. If you want to give us a call here today to talk about any of this, 844-411-5411. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Send your text messages, 425-780-7566. We can talk about...
Davey paid that penance for him, as far as the easiness goes, because I guess for those who are unaware, after the situation in Montreal happened, the only person that retained value to Vince McMahon at that point was Owen Hart. Bulldog was let go, Jim Neidhart was let go, and it was a match on Nitro where I think it was Bulldog and Neidhart teaming up against somebody where Davey Boy had the body slam on the trap door that was supposed to be for Sting.
Yes.
Or whatever
it was
Warrior. Supposed to be.
That's
Warrior.
Would,
Warrior so,
he would appear in a cloud of smoke, and they had a trap door, and Bulldog bumped on the trap door and messed up his back, and it led to all sorts of problems for him, an infection. It was kind of the beginning of the end, actually, for Bulldog. It was a disaster. So, yeah. Some other news here. We'll get back to this as people text and call in. The 1,000th episode of SmackDown. If you remember Raw 1000, believe it or not, we're here at SmackDown 1000, taking place at the Capital One Arena, October 16, 2018. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Vince McMahon in a press release. 1,000 episodes is a tremendous milestone, reinforcing the longevity and popularity of WWE. But it is only the beginning. The best is yet to come for SmackDown. Probably right about that with it going to Fox. That I can tell you. WWE celebrated the 900th SmackDown on November of 2016. Appearances by Edge and The Undertaker. SmackDown debuted on UPN 1999. We are very old. Episode 1000. Comes just under a year in advance of the show.
I remember it debuting.
Yeah.
Do you remember that back that far?
Well, of course I do, because I'm watching Raw 19 years ago this week, and last week they made the announcement, coming up, SmackDown is about to debut 19 years ago this week. And
did they roll back out Shawn Michaels for that as a special?
Nah, he's already been on. I mean, he does do something there, but he's been back on TV prior to that, but... I just remember, like, the kind of big story about it was they had a show called Sunday Night Heat, which if you remember the Attitude Era, you probably remember. And Sunday Night Heat was Sunday night, obviously. It was a one-hour show, and they would shoot angles on Heat for Raw, and obviously for Sunday Night pay-per-views and that sort of thing. And at the time, Sunday Night Heat did preposterously high ratings. Like, if you even knew the ratings that show did compared to, like, Raw today, it's ridiculous.
On MTV.
And they ended up doing the debut of SmackDown. They added a two-hour show on Thursday. And as is the case, oftentimes when Vince gets himself a new toy, that was the death of Heat. It wasn't an immediate death, but obviously SmackDown became the new A show outside of Raw. And Heat slowly died a death. And I guess we'll see what happens when SmackDown moves to Fox. It can't die a death. It's gotta basically be as big or bigger than Raw.
But, I can't even remember. It was JR and Lawler did SmackDown from the jump. Was it Shane McMahon and Coachman that did Heat initially? Shane for sure.
I don't even remember. All I know is, oh my God. For those of you that are annoyed by Shane McMahon and his on-screen character, which actually, his on-screen character is not that annoying today. But, oh my God, him doing commentary in the 90s.
No.
Oh my God, it was just the worst. So I can't imagine him going over there.
He did commentary as he would dance around the ring. I mean, that's you can kind of compare the two.
Well, I mean, to his, I don't know if credit's the right word, to in his defense, I mean, the guy had never done commentary. He was just thrown out there to do commentary because he was a son of Vince McMahon and a television character, and they needed somebody to be doing commentary for some of these angles. They chose him, and he would just scream, he would yell, he would mark out, he would never stop talking.
David Crockett.
No. David Crockett's way better than Shane McMahon. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
Have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234. That's 800-430-4234. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wall has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I got a couple things I got to get to here.
All right.
First off, notes, it was Shane and Cornette, the first episode of Heat. There you go. Shane McMahon and Jim Cornette. Talk about a contrast in styles. Now, this person here says, "So I keep hearing that Vince McMahon is mad at you and Dave over Ring of Honor's popularity. Has he done anything to you guys that you can speak of?" But I know what he would do. I mean, he has not threatened my family. What would he do?
Come here, pal.
Let me address this really quickly, okay? So, I mean, it's true that when Filthy Tom and I teamed up at Black Label Pro, Powerbomb TV broke their record.
Oh.
That's true.
All right.
It is true that every Q&A that Dave and I have done, every one of them is sold out.
Yeah.
It is true that we have more people subscribing than we ever have before, bigger than ever, okay?
Two printings of a book, too, by the way.
Yeah. It is true that I've sold over 80,000 copies of Death of WCW.
Cabarets?
But listen to me. The idea that Dave and I helped sell out Madison Square Garden for Ring of Honor, it's preposterous. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. Now, let's just imagine, okay, that Dave and I did, in fact, have a hand in selling out Madison Square Garden, okay? Let's just imagine. It didn't happen. It's ridiculous, okay? But let's just imagine for a second, okay? If that happened, if Dave and I and our coverage of Ring of Honor in New Japan helped sell out Madison Square Garden for Ring of Honor New Japan. Mike, why would that have happened? What did we do? What would we have done where Vince could look at us and say, you know what, you guys helped sell this out?
Well, maybe it's because you made them put on high-profile matches in conjunction with New Japan. That's got to be it, right? You're booking that?
Well, no. I mean, if seriously we helped sell that out, how? I'll tell you how.
Okay.
Because we cover all the shows, and we interview the talent on this show and other shows. We've interviewed tons of Ring of Honor guys. We've helped them promote their pay-per-views by interviewing them here on this show. We've interviewed people from New Japan. We've had Kenny Omega on the show countless times. We've had Okada on the show. Dave interviewed Tanahashi when New Japan went to San Francisco. Right? All that stuff. That would be what it would be, right?
Well, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. We review their matches in the newsletter. We talk about their shows, okay?
Yeah.
So listen, we review all of the WWE shows. Mm-hmm. I do full shows dedicated to WWE.
Unfortunately, this is one of them, yes.
Okay. WWE will not allow any of their talent to be on this show.
Facts.
They will not allow any of their talent to be interviewed by myself. They will not allow any of their talent to be interviewed by Dave. Mm-hmm. Whose fault is that?
Not yours.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and beg to interview WWE talent. This show is doing great. I can't even remember the last time we had WWE talent on this show. On a regular basis, the last time we had never. We had WCW talent on the show back in the 90s. But if you're not going to allow your guys to come on this show or for us to go to WWE events and interview the guys backstage, like any other sport or entertainment, whatever you would call it.
Entity.
Like, if we covered anything else, we could interview their guys. I mean, in UFC, you don't even have to get the guys cleared. You just call them, and they do your show, and you promote their matches and that sort of thing. So you're not going to allow any of that. And then you're going to cry and claim that we helped sell out Madison Square Garden. Are you kidding me?
Idiot.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Like, from the top to the bottom, the whole thing is ridiculous. We didn't help sell out Ring of Honor. You know why Madison Square Garden sold out with Ring of Honor New Japan? Because Ring of Honor New Japan, they're hot right now, and they've done a great job promoting their own stuff and selling their own tickets and getting their shows out on Sinclair and New Japan World selling subscriptions. So are you telling me that we also help sell subscriptions for New Japan World? The fact is, we didn't help any of that. Maybe a little bit. I mean, maybe we raised a little bit of awareness. But you're telling me that I helped sell 100,000 subscriptions to New Japan World? You're telling me that I helped sell out Madison Square Garden for Ring of Honor? That's completely ridiculous. But if it were the case, then there would be a reason why we did that. And it's allowing us access to the talent that you don't allow us access to. So what are you complaining about?
Yeah,
If you want to get your guys on the show here to talk about SummerSlam or whatever else, knock yourself out. I'll be happy to have them on. But if you're not gonna, then what are you crying about? This whole thing is so completely ridiculous. You're like crying. You're crying that we give New Japan and Ring of Honor, I don't know what, more publicity, more whatever. But then
that's bold.
At the same time, you're not going to allow anybody on the show. Like, what's going on here?
We spend a ridiculous amount of time on WWE branded events on this show.
More than everybody else put together.
By leaps and bounds, to the point where it becomes painful, because there are great things going on in other places, but they're the straw that stirs the drink oftentimes. Sorry that what's in the glass sucks sometimes, you know, but you don't help your cause out any by not allowing these people to appear on shows, not allowing them to connect with their fans, and only doing it in the guise of WWE speak most of the time. Say what you want. They can say what they want, but they're making, what they always say is, the billions of dollars they're making, they may be doing something right. Well, you know what? They got another group with a lot of money that owns a wrestling product that has put it on in more markets than ever, that has aggressively advertised it, at least on their local affiliates. They have not done that to a mass scale yet, but give me a break. Nobody is going out there. Nobody is commanding Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada and Tetsuya Naito and these other people to have amazing matches. They're doing that. Doesn't matter if they appear on the show or not. We can't promote that any more than they're already doing. So why don't you look at what they're doing, their successes, and stop worrying about all these other excuses of why something may be succeeding, and look at the root cause of why it's succeeding and what the hell you're going to do about it, instead of just sitting there whining about the fact that they rented your arena out from under you because you're too stupid to keep it on your anniversary WrestleMania weekend.
I would go that far.
No, they're idiots. They're idiots for doing that. And I honestly mean that, because the easiest thing they had to do was pay some deference to Madison Square Garden. And on the anniversary where you just had Bruno Sammartino pass away, on the anniversary of your biggest show of the year, the biggest thing that you do all year, the biggest celebration of wrestling, you had a way to keep people out, which was utilize Madison Square Garden for something. They let them in the back door, scrambled late, failed to doing that, and now they're in there with a sold-out building. That's nobody else's fault but WWE's for dropping the ball and not thinking that they had that kind of stroke behind them. Well, obviously they did.
This person says, you guys helped sell Madison Square Garden All In Out by Dave making a 10,000-seat bet. That's all it took?
Yeah.
Man,
Cody Rhodes, or we didn't let Cody Rhodes go. You know what I'm saying? Now, he let himself go, but we didn't do that. I don't know. I know this isn't even a wee thing. It's
and yeah, we did interview Cody after he left, because he wasn't there anymore and he was allowed to do interviews. So if you're upset about that, I don't know what to tell you. Let's go to the phones. I'm done with this. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. This is Daniel from Greensboro. How are y'all?
Yes, Daniel.
I will be honest. I do think it's funny. Vince only can be mad at himself for the Garden, because a chunk of those people going to that Garden show are guys that are going there for his product to begin with, and they scooped in and stole him away from him for one night. So I do think that's funny. But I had a question for Mike. I've always heard that different buildings in Japan lean towards different wrestlers or different styles of wrestling, and I was kind of wondering if you could break that down kind of on a small concept of what buildings and why certain buildings react to, I know you and Adam have talked about, like, certain buildings leaning towards junior heavyweights, whereas certain buildings, they're not really accepted as much.
Yeah, I'm going to fail at this, and Adam's going to be really upset with me for doing it, but I think it might be Saitama, where it's like, when Naito, this is before the LIJ incarnation, when Naito was still like a plucky babyface and they were still trying to push that along, the Stardust genius and pure wrestler and everything, he and Tanahashi both would get booed when they go to the building. And I want to say it was Saitama. I'm probably going to brain lock. I'm going to double check during the break. But like, it just naturally tended to be a more heelish crowd. And what you would find with those guys, especially with Tanahashi, is he would kind of ramp it up and throw a finger to the eye and do very slight heelish things to play up with it. The north of the country too, where Mikanoshu Pro and that, the evolution of the that junior heavyweight style, and some of those guys, is when you go up there, tends to be better than it is in Tokyo, especially when it comes to bigger buildings and bigger shows. So, again, there we should probably look at that. In fact, I think we will. I'm going to bring it up to Adam on the next Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare we'll be doing soon, where we can actually talk about it a little more at length.
And this person here says, all in is you and mostly Dave's fault. That and Ring of Honor MSG during WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
So I booked those buildings. Listen, yeah. I could make any bet. Dave could make any bet. They very easily could have put tickets on sale for All In and sold 1,000 tickets and lost their ass. They very easily could have. But you know why they didn't? Because of the work that they put into it. Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, Cody, they hustled. Sam Adonis is going to join us here on the show. Got lots to talk about with him. He wants to apologize for an incident happened a little while ago. So stick around. We'll be back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
I'm Ryan Burke. I'm the head cider maker at Angry Orchard, and we're in Brittany, France. I wanted to make Angry Orchard Rosé cider out of my love for rosé wine. We came here and found these red-fleshed apples. It's a really rare fruit. The apple brings a right, refreshing, natural taste to the cider and a deep, nice pink rosé hue. Our rosé is a little bit less sweet. It's got a really nice balance for any occasion. It's a really refreshing drink.
Angry Orchard Cider Company, Walden, New York. Drink responsibly.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama.
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
Comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
Of growing up.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go figure out who they are?
In the dark ages.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Disenchantment.
Anybody looks at her, they get their head chopped off.
Boy, did I look at her.
Only on Netflix.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Happy today to be joined by Sam Adonis. We've got a lot to talk about here today. Sam, how are you doing today?
Oh, I wish I could tell you I'm doing all right, but this has been one of the most stressful and complicated weeks of my entire life. So I'm really glad to be here with you guys and talk shop a little bit and hopefully shed some light on what happened this past Sunday in London.
Well, I know you wanted to come on and talk about it and explain what happened, and so the floor is yours.
Well, I want to start off by saying, Lab, I feel terrible about the whole situation. Just as any performer would, you never want to leave a sour taste in anybody's mouth. So I really didn't ever intend on offending anybody to the level that I did. And I basically learned a lot about myself through this whole experience. I said some choice words that weren't exactly tasteful for the London audience. And the last thing I want to do is have anybody to ever think that me as a performer is not worth seeing, not worth the price of admission. And the fact that I basically embarrassed myself, I embarrassed my brother's name, I embarrassed my family, you know, I'm very upset about the whole situation and how it went. But I basically realized I'm quite out of touch with what wrestling is right now. And I don't know, I made a huge mistake, and I wish I could do what I could to prove to the London audience and to the internet wrestling community on a worldwide basis, you know, who aren't exactly familiar with who I am, that I have a lot more to offer. And you know, I don't want people to remember me for something like this, because it's definitely a black eye on the career of Sam Adonis.
So, I mean, without saying what you actually said, I mean, what basically happened is you came out and I guess you said some things, and I presume in your mind you just thought, it's a wrestling crowd, they'll know that this is just a heel character attempting to generate heat, and instead you got a reaction and then you responded in probably the opposite way that you should have responded. Is that basically what happened? I mean, for those that don't know what happened, in vague terms without saying everything, what happened?
Well, from what I understand...
What was going through your mind, I guess, is the question.
The British wrestling fans are legitimately probably some of the smartest on earth. I don't know how many of them you've spoken to or how many of the British wrestlers you'll speak to, but the British wrestling fans know so much about the history of wrestling. And, you know, it goes back. They know every territory, who was the champion, who was on top. And you know, it's pretty special. So that being said, I was kind of under the impression they knew who Sam Adonis was. I've gone to find out. A lot of them know nothing about me other than the fact that I am a certain TV commentator's little brother. But I have basically made my entire reputation off my controversial character in Mexico. And, you know, it's been derived based on our president, Donald Trump, and being a political sympathizer in Mexico and, you know, showing the people that I am a bad, bad man. But, you know, I like old school wrestling. I like a heel that you want to hate. You don't want to cheer for. So I push the envelope and I do certain unsavory acts because it comes back. When the heel gets his comeback, when the babyface is just rocking and rolling and kicking my butt, that genuine emotion is something that I truly believe is lost in professional wrestling. I love the 80s, the magic of a babyface and a heel that can tell a story and draw money. And now we do live in a world where, you know, things are a little bit more sensitive, and I should have been more conscious to that. But at the same time, in that atmosphere, I was under the assumption that this is Revolution Pro. From what I know, it's a smart audience. They should know about me. They are a experienced audience, and they know about New Japan. They know about ECW. And from what I was under the assumption that the show was 18 and up, which was also a mistake on my part, not doing my research. But the I did this in the light where I wanted the people to really say, wow, that was heavy. And, you know, some of the words I used can be interpreted one way, and that's not the intention I meant, you know, for it to go out as, other than just a harsh insult. But, you know, I pushed forward. I pride myself on my ability to talk. You know, it's funny enough, I've wrestled in Mexico where I didn't really do much talking, but, you know, my mic skills are what I'm good at. So I don't ever have necessarily a plan. I can turn on Sam Adonis, you know, as soon as the music's hitting and I'm walking out to the ring. So when I have a microphone, I read a room. I light people up. I point people out. I get people involved. And you pick on one to get someone else involved. And then after 2 or 3 minutes, you know, the room is lit up. The room is on fire. And It was on fire, but probably not for the reasons I wanted it. People were pretty angry and saying, get out of here. They were turning their backs on the ring. And, you know, from my experience, and again, me being out of touch with what an independent wrestling market is like, I thought it was good heat. I listened to the audience, and they were so angry and so upset. But maybe this comes down to the 2 years I spent in Arena Mexico. You know, I know that reaction. I know that, you know, anger is what sells tickets. Anger is what generates the heat, you know, which is why we were able to do big numbers in Mexico and you know, work in programs with some of the biggest stars in Mexican history. That's what I thought was correct. So I, you know, I will take full responsibility for pushing forward. But it wasn't until I got to the back, until I realized the magnitude of the situation, because the room had changed. You know, everybody, that we were laughing and joking and having a good time, and, you know, everything was cool. And I came in the back, you know, and I knew it was a heavy promo, but I didn't think, you know, I didn't realize the repercussions would have been so harsh. So, you know, when I came back, I learned, hey, that was a problem. You know, that does not fly here. That's not, you know, it's not only a London thing, it's not only a wrestling thing, it's a 2018 thing, you know, and that's me being ignorant, that's me screwing up. And, you know, the funny thing is, I try to live a very positive life, and I don't like to read the negativity online. I kind of live in my own little bubble in a way, and in the end, it's kind of, you know, I've paid the price for that, because I was a little bit insensitive, because I'm not, you know, in an everyday conversation or in a wrestling community, understanding what the wrestling fans are now accustomed to.
But Sam, is it really being a part of the wrestling community? I mean, you're under 30 years old. I mean, you're growing up in the age of social media, and yeah, the fans are maybe smarter than they ever have been before, but they're also probably more progressive and more sensitive to some of these things in the past than they ever have been before, because of real life ramifications and so much real life that now drips and is soaked through because of politics and culture and social aspects and things like that. I mean, you almost come across as being somewhat immune to that. I mean, what kind of, it's an interesting bubble in which you're with, that you would actually go in that direction with some of the verbiage that you did, whether it be over 18 or not, considering that there's a lot of comedians out there, you know, whose jobs are to insult and to inspire and to do somewhat the same thing that wrestlers have, that have been, I mean, at the gun's edge of this for quite some time. I mean, I'm surprised that you looked at this as more of like it's a wrestling thing. You misread the room as opposed to, you know, the social aspects. I mean, did any of that ever enter your mind at all? I mean, you're going to a place in the UK where it seems to be much more, I mean, they seem to be far more progressive on a lot of this stuff. And as far as inclusion in their fan base, which obviously you know, right now, I mean, what exactly was the room when you were trying to read it?
Absolutely. You're correct. You know, I have actually lived here in the United Kingdom for 5 years, and the United Kingdom is much more progressive in so many aspects. And I'm not trying to justify what I'm saying, you know, as why I did what I did, other than the fact that from what I know about the United Kingdom is they are progressive, but at the same time, there are so many things here that we do not do in the United States. Like you said, you hit the nail on the head with comedians. You know, comedians in the United Kingdom can be so much more harsh than anything that's presentable in the United States. The soccer matches, you can go there and you can hear the verbiage and language that is so much more, you know, so much worse than what we do on a daily basis in the United States, that from what I've understood in the United States, in my time in the United Kingdom, that there was a different line. I did not understand the line, because I worked 5 years. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Dixon, All-Star Wrestling. Brian Dixon has the most politically correct wrestling event on the planet, aside from WWE. You know, I have done so many of these events where it's yay boos in front of children and whatnot. I've also done events, you know, on other independents where you find that market, that audience. It's not that I ever, you know, expected that to filter over, other than the fact that, you know, wrestling now has people starving for old school style, an ECW Dudley's Boys style promo or something like that. From what I understand now, you know, I don't watch too much new wrestling. I don't know what's good or what's bad, but from what I understand now, you know, with like Lucha Underground or whatnot, they have characters that are demons, or they have characters that, you know, are murderers and whatnot. I don't know enough about it. And that's, you know, that's what I'm not trying to justify it, because I know I screwed up. I know it's bad. I know we're beyond that as a society. It should never have come to that. It's just something that I walked the line and tried to push something that had nothing to do with the verbiage. I didn't, the verbiage with, you know, it was something, it's an insult, and the insensitivity comes from more of ignorance than anything. I did not want, you know, I don't mean some of the things that I say as anything more than, you know, a word, an insult to make somebody angry. And, you know, clearly I learned the hard way. You know, I have nothing against any type of people. I never want to truly offend any group of people. I want to offend every group of people in the light of professional wrestling, because I love professional wrestling. I know that in the end, people can get involved with this. And, you know, if the storyline were to go in the direction that it could have, you know, the comeuppance could have been there. This is where I'm out of touch. And again, it's not just in wrestling, it's in society. You know, I've lived the last 2 years in Mexico. And, you know, I will accept full responsibility for not being, you know, as much as sensitive as I should be, or not up to what's right, because I do remove myself from negativity. You know, I embrace a character, and, you know, I've done so much media outside of wrestling, and not even justifying the Donald Trump character. You know, I've had to explain that to so many people. But when good wrestling comes out as being good wrestling, as the people, you know, really get to forget about real life and be involved and be a part of a story, be a part of something special, and see it sometimes, you know, the character battle, you know, is something that they can hold on to. It's something that they really can make their own.
All right, well, stand by. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Sam Adonis joining us here today. Sam, if people want to follow you, contact you, or I guess anything of that nature, I know you don't do a ton of social media, but some social media and other plugs to get out.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter as much as anybody, or not as much as anybody, but it's there, at Real Sam Adonis. You can reach me, you can tweet me, whatever you need. Generally, you know, from most of this, you know, there's been a lot of people that have been very supportive, and for everybody that's been supportive, thank you guys so much. This has been terribly hard for me because, you know, I made a mistake. I screwed up. You know, I don't ever want this to stay with me because I care about the fans more than anything. I just go about it in a very weird, weird way. You know, I want you to hate me so bad because I know that as soon as your baby face beats me, you actually have that happy, good feeling that wrestling used to provide everybody instead of just being, you know, more of an exhibition. I want genuine emotion, and I screwed up. So, you know, for everybody that supported me, thank you. If you guys can find it in your hearts to forgive me, please forgive me. I will do what I can to make it up to the wrestling community, to any community that I've upset. I just don't want anybody to ever, you know, not want to be a part of professional wrestling.
All right. Well, I hate to cut you off, but we're totally out of time. I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. Back tomorrow with more, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live. This is Brian Alvarez with Wrestling Observer Live. Join me and Mike Sempervivi 7 days a week talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Full schedule at sportsbyline.com. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Broadcasting Network. This is Brian Alvarez with Wrestling Observer Live. Join us every single day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, daily replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.